At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast!
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond. I am one of your hosts, TFJO and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
We are also joined by TV's Mr. Neil from the Animation Aficionados. Yes, I did say it wrong on purpose. Hello, Neil.
Hello.
Yes, why must I fight you? We are not enemies.
Mega Man 8, everyone.
Thank God that was made after the cartoon series was over.
Yeah, because we didn't need that giving them any ideas.
No. Today, we are going to be taking a trip back in time as we hop into a DeLorean and arrive in 1994 for the classic cartoon Mega Man. Now, everybody always questioned me of my plan of Tooncast Classic and Tooncast Beyond. I think my plan has worked out very well. I had 100 solid episodes, not counting interviews, in Tooncast Classic. There was a set number of shows and a set number of topics that we were going to bring up within those 100 episodes. And then I went and created this podcast where, in the regular episodes, we talk about anything from 2000 and now. Well, the DeLorean Time episodes is what we're calling these, gives us a chance to go back and hit any cartoons that we missed in the original run of Tooncast Classic. So that's what this is all about, and what better way to kick it off than with the 94 Mega Man series. Oh boy. So Steve, very quickly, what have you been up to this week?
Well, some Geekcast Radio stuff. Yes. My friend has been teaching me the art of playing World of Warcraft.
God, why?
Well, it's boredom, and he gets a special piece by reactivating and hit one of his old accounts. So, it's in favor for him, and then it gives me something to play until Diablo 3 comes out. Also, in addition to that, I've been, well, I'm going to enter the Behind the Voice Actors contest.
Awesome.
And also, the first episode of the Tabletop Enthusiast will be out this coming
soon.
Saturday. Yes, soon.
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 Yes. And Neil, what have you been up to since we last brought you your doom?
Well, I've been drawing comics, drawing commissions, and I've started Shining the Holy Ark on the Sega Saturn. That's been my week. And I've been watching this cartoon.
Yes. All right. So and again, because we are doing DeLorean Times are essentially Tooncast Classic episodes, it is the old format. So it's not the new show format that we have on Tooncast Beyond. So to give you an overview/history lesson of Mega Man, which let's see here, is a Japanese-American animated television series multi-produced by Capcom Productions, Ruby Spears Productions, Oshit Productions? I know that's not correct, but that's what it looks like to me. And Ocean Productions is based on the game series of the same name. The TV series began in 1994 and ended in 1995 and was aired on many syndicated stations at the time. Two seasons were produced, with a third season planned, but the show was canceled despite respectively high ratings due to budget constraints. Well, $300,000 for an entire budget? Yeah, that, I don't see how that can be a constraint in 1994. But, Steve, what were your general memories of this cartoon?
Well, for me, this was the only Mega Man, that piece of crap that came with the Nintendo Captain N. That is not Mega Man for me.
Mega Wow! Mega High!
It sounds like he's, like, constipated or something, but... Or he just got kicked in the balls. Oh, wait, wrong octave. But, but yeah, I mean, for one, I didn't realize that so many of my favorite Beast Wars voice actors were in this.
Yeah.
At the time, so that is also a bonus for me. But I remember watching this show and just loving the crap out of it, just because they're robots.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, no, it's very, very awesome. What about you, Neil? What do you remember watching this show in the early 90s or even now?
Well, I did see a few episodes back in the early 90s. The one I remember the most vividly is the one with the deaf girl.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
And when I watched it more recently, I was like, huh, Mega Man sounds really familiar. And I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, shit, it's the original Goku. It's Ian James Corlett.
Yeah.
Who is much better than Doug Parker.
Well, I think anybody's better than Doug Parker. I mean, yeah. Pterosaur, come on.
And this guy was also played Dr. Wily in Captain N.
Yes. See, that's... Actually, Steve and I almost came to blows over that whole argument because I had completely forgotten about this cartoon. Like watching it back now in preparation for this episode, I remembered a whole bunch of stuff that I had completely forgotten. But originally, when Steve and I were talking about Mega Man, and it was when we interviewed Ian James Corlett for Beast Unleashed, our Beast Wars podcast, Beast Unleashed. I had Ian do the Dr. Wily voice for a Tooncast promo, and he's like, "Well, he's also Mega Man." I'm like, "No, he's not." Steve's like, "Yes, he is." I'm like, "No, he's not."
I'm like, I remember that shit, man. That was Mega Man to me. So that's the only Mega Man.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, and for me, I remember seeing the series. I think for me, I remember watching, honestly, the intro, probably the most. Because that theme song, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but that theme song is so freaking catchy.
Oh, yes.
Then you look at the animation, it's like, holy fucking shit! And then the show starts, and it kind of slows down. But some of the episodes are animated pretty well, so I'm not going to just trash on it.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, getting into the characters and the voice actors and all that good stuff. You've got Mega Man, Dr. Wily, Gutsman, Proto Man, Dr. Thomas Light, which I never knew his first name was Thomas before watching this. Roll, Snake Man, Brainbot, Eddie. I love Eddie. Eddie's so awesome. Cutman, Vile. Oh, wow. I did not know Vile was Beast Wars Ravage. I did not know Lee Toker was in this series.
Yeah, why do you think I put it in the image when I made the art?
I didn't even really pay attention to that. Sorry.
That, and I love the Mega Man X part, but anyways.
Yes. Essentially, this has, you know, a ton of the game characters. I believe someone told me, and actually that someone will actually tell us a little bit later, but since I've already heard it, that the cartoon series was primarily based off of Mega Man 3 and Mega Man 5?
I don't remember if I saw any Mega Man 6 characters, but it's definitely up to 5.
Yeah. Because I had to, there was one that I had to actually look up on a, I had to find a Mega Man wiki and look it up, because there was one where I didn't even recognize, I was like, who is this? You know, I was like, what the hell? I think the most amazing thing, and if we, which we probably will have him on again in the future, I think the one of the most amazing things for me within James Corlett is, at least according to behind the voice actors, he voiced Rush.
Yeah, he did.
That is pretty cool.
I just can't. Between Beast Wars, Cheetor, Mega Man, and Mr. Test from Johnny Test, I just can't see how Ian changed his voice enough to be Rush. I don't know. I'll have to, you know, if we, when we interview him again, whenever that'll be down the line, I'll have to ask him, so can you take us through, you know, changing your voice from Mega Man to Rush? Steve, what were some of your favorite characters from the series?
Well, of course, I loved Mega Man. Rush was the nice comedy relief. I loved Scott McNeil's portrayal of Dr. Wily. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Ian's on the Captain N, because right. I can that one's all right. But for me, I liked the zaniness that McNeil brought to it, and also he played Proto Man, which is the other favorite of mine from this show.
Yes,
Gutsman is another one that I liked just because he was in all of them as well. Didn't realize that was Gary Chalk.
Gutsman is essentially a dumb Optimus Primal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could. I guess you could equate that.
Well, I mean, because like I can hear inflections in Gary's voice from, you know, watching all the Beast Wars and Beast Machines episodes. I mean, yeah, sure, it is a little different from Optimus Primal's voice, but I don't know. What about you, Neil? Who are some of your favorite characters?
Well, I like the robot bosses that are from Mega Man 1, because I noticed they're all designed the best. For some reason, the Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3 and beyond and bosses are kind of not designed nearly as well. But I love the designs for Iceman and Fireman and Gutsman and all those guys.
Yeah.
And I love Bomb Man because there seems to be a running gag where he goes to throw a bomb and Mega Man does something where it knocks the bomb out of his hand and then it just blows up in his face. And
he's – oh, God. He's essentially pitching, and Mega Man is hitting it back at him.
Yeah.
I was going to say catching, but that wouldn't make any sense, since Mega Man just flung it right back at him. Yeah. Who else, Neil, did you like?
Well, I thought Roll was pretty cool. I love that they made her, because it's the 90s, they made her kind of a more pro-feminist character. But then... See, in the first episode, she and Mega Man are getting into this fight about whether, you know, a girl can kick as much butt as a guy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 10 seconds later, she's like, I made myself a vacuum cleaner arm. And I'm like, oh, my God. Fail. And I think she had a frying pan arm and a toaster arm in a later episode.
She did.
Yeah, the only good she ever did with those utensils is either smacking someone in the face or vacuuming a robot's face off.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed because I thought because she had the vacuum cleaner arm, I thought that meant that she beat Dust Man.
Well, I guess she likes to suck a lot then, huh?
Oh, I wasn't even going there.
Well, he does blow, so.
Oh, Lord. I loved Cutman, Gutsman. I was kind of disappointed with the Mega Man X characters, only because of the lack thereof of them. Sure, we see Sigma on a screen, and sure, Vile and Spark Mandrill show up, but, like, I don't know, watching it back now, I found myself being very disappointed with that episode because there weren't more of the ex-villains in there. I wanted to see Storm Eagle, I wanted to see Chill Penguin, you know. Why are you only coming with one? I guess that I guess in the context of that episode, Spark Mandrill was powerful enough against regular Mega Man that you didn't need the rest of them, but I don't know. That's really my only problem with that episode, but there wasn't more ex-villains.
It seemed to be like they were setting it up for like a later episode that never happened. Yeah.
Well, not only setting it up, but also I think they were helping to promote more of the Mega Man X games that were coming out around that time. Because if you look at it, Mega Man X does look like, you know, Mega Man X, and I think it's cool that Ian James Corlett played a little bit older version of his Mega Man character. And Vile is like, he's almost what Zero would be just on Sigma's side. And I loved the fact that they brought those three characters in, despite them being very underutilized. I love that episode. That still remains one of my favorites out of the Mega Man X or Mega Man cartoon.
Yeah. The thing for me with the, you know, before we kind of get into some of the back history of it, just the overall premise of the show, and yes, I've kind of skipped a category ahead to the premise of the show. The basic plot is that Dr. Wily and Dr. Light were brilliant scientists in the field of robotics who worked together in a laboratory trying to advance the science. Boy, I wonder if Neil has any problems with their science stuff.
I just kind of toned it out.
One day they finished an extremely advanced prototype, but shortly after being activated, it started destroying the laboratory. Dr. Light immediately believed that the prototype's guidance system which Dr. Wily had personally programmed, was the source of the problem, and concluded that they would have to start over again. Angered, Dr. Wily attempted to steal the plans later that night, but Dr. Light catches him, blah, 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 blah. You know, after, like, the first episode, it's essentially Dr. Wily is the villain of the week.
Yeah.
Every single week, which is fine. You know, it's Mega Man. You have to have Wily there. But Dr. Light builds rock and roll. God. I know that Rockman is the Japanese name, but I'm sorry. The whole first episode I was watching this, before they started calling him Mega Man, I was like, oh God, rock and roll this, rock and roll that. Oh God, thank God they Americanized it.
Well, that theme is all throughout that series, because you got Eddie, who's named after Eddie Van Halen. Rush,
yeah.
Who's named after Rush.
Yeah.
Treble and bass. Beat.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on.
Oh, Lord. So funny. So funny. All right, so some of the history stuff here. Where do we want to start with this, Neil?
Maybe with just a quick overview of the. I'm not going to go in depth in the games, but just
right.
The one thing that they didn't really capture in this cartoon is the rock paper scissor aspect of Mega Man, where you beat one boss and then you take that boss's power and beat another boss with it. And the way the game even starts is, You're the character of Rock, and there's another guy named Cutman who's like the scissor character, and you're like, aha, maybe I should beat him first. Then you try to figure out what boss you can beat that guy his power with. In the cartoon, though, it seemed like he would steal their powers, and then he would beat the same robot boss with that power. I'm like, huh, that's interesting, but that's not really as interesting as what they could have done with it.
Right, but at the same time, to have, because a lot besides Cutsman and Gutsman and Proto Man, Iceman has like 3 or 4 episodes, Bomb Man has 3 or 4 episodes, so you couldn't actually have him quote unquote kill these people and steal their powers.
Yeah, that's true. That's the other part of it, is that he has to kill them to take the powers, and they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But they certainly had enough robot bosses that they could have done like 65 episodes and done one boss per episode.
Yeah,
they certainly didn't have to keep reusing and rehashing all the same ones over and over and over.
But I understand why they wanted to keep using Gutsman, because Gutsman is just funny.
Gutsman, Cutman, Protoman, those were pretty much the main three that Wily used on all the shows.
Yeah.
You know, you know, Cutting Man, he's a great villain, but at the same time, he's also one of the worst villains ever.
He has bad puns.
Well, not only does the bad puns, but I mean, like,
time to cut you off, Mega Man.
You know, I said, I mean, just... rock beats paper, or rock beats scissor.
Yeah, well, see, and here's the thing. You know, there's a couple episodes where Mega Man, you know, just kicks the scissors right back at him,
and it cuts him in pieces.
Yeah, or like, you know, Mega Man will duck out of the way of the scissors. The scissors, effectually a boomerang, will go up and slice something, and it will come down on Cutsman and Gutsman's heads. I love, there's an episode, and again, I don't remember the episode title right off the top of my head, but there's an episode where Gutsman is in a tank, or he's in something. Mm-hmm. No. It was a helicopter. I'm sorry. It was a helicopter. He's in a helicopter, and he's trying to find and fight Mega Man, and Mega Man is standing on top of the helicopter as it's moving, and Gutsman punches a hole in the ceiling and sticks his head out each time. This series on a whole is so, it's so funny, it's so cliched, but watching it back, it essentially took me back to the 90s. And that's one of the reasons why I think the series has endured and endeared itself to a lot of people over the years. Versus Mega High, I'm from Megaland.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Yeah. I guess we should talk about the change, the promotional show and the change in design. Prior to the show's premiere, a short animated promo was released which utilized a graphic style more similar to the graphic design of the games. Now, Neil actually posted this on Facebook. I'll have to put it in the... I'll just see if I can embed it into the GeekCastRadio.com website post. I'm so glad they didn't go that route.
But didn't you see Electman? He looks so cute.
Yeah, but it's true he did. But the thing of it is I like the more, like, because when I first episode, I was like, oh my god, it's like I'm in Mega Man 1. It's like I'm on a fly on the wall watching Mega Man climb up a ladder and, you know, all this and all that. And I liked the realism of it versus, hey, let's be superhero squad-ish, even though this came out before Superhero Squad was ever even thought of. The design also changed as Mega Man and Proto Man became taller and more muscular. Often Proto Man and Mega Man would use their fists or wrestle instead of using their in-game abilities. I don't mind this. And we really need to talk about the character of Proto Man, because if we don't, certain people will probably hunt us down. My buddy, the goddamn Proto Man, actually, he loves Proto Man. And there was a huge difference between the Proto Man of the games and the Proto Man in this, where in this, he turned into a villain. I just don't understand it. Like... okay, sure, I can kind of understand that in the first episode, Wily essentially stole him and turned him evil. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, they never actually said once Wily's program, you know, they never actually pulled a G1 Megatron line where it's like, once Megatron programs something, it can't be changed back, you know. I don't know.
I think it seems to me that they wanted there to be an evil version of Mega Man, and that's what they gave him. Because there was a spot in the pilot where he took Gutsman's powers, and I was like, aha, that's what they're doing.
Now, wasn't, because other changes were that, obviously Mega Man and Roll were changed from children to teenagers, and Eddie was changed from red to green. In the Mega Man games I played, Eddie was green. I don't know. I might be remembering it wrong. I don't know. In the games, Mega Man gains a Robot Master's ability, which we kind of already talked about after destroying the Robot Master. But in the series, Mega Man just has to touch the Robot Master. I love that sequence, though. when he touches their head or their wrist, I love that sequence. That is so freaking awesome to me. Because it's almost like you're in the game.
Yeah, they had a couple moments like that throughout the series.
Yeah. Kind of getting... I can't believe that the wiki compares Rush to Scooby. Oh my god. Kind of getting back to the premise of the show. I know we're kind of going backwards here, but I wanted to talk about if you guys had any favorite episodes. Steve, I know you said the Mega Man X was one of your favorites. Do you have any others?
Well, I mean, they're all pretty much good episodes. I don't really have any other favorites. I mean, they're all great. I like them all. I could sit there and watch them. Mega Man X, I would have to say, is my number one. But beyond that, I don't really have a set number of favorites below that. They're all... I like all of them.
What about you, Neil?
Probably the first episode, because it was definitely the most anime-like, and it had all the robot bosses from the first game, and I like that they went back to the one storyline from the game that was Dr. Light had built all six of the original robot bosses, and along comes Dr. Wily and turns them all evil. But what was funny about that is that he has a reprogramming gun. He hits the robot bosses with them. Mega Man Roller right there, he says, okay, he tells his new robot, you know, slaves to grab Mega Man and Roll, take them back to his lab so he can reprogram them. I'm like, wait a minute. But even so, I like that that was in there just because that is a connection from the game. And it's a lot more faithful than, say, the Super Mario Super Show, which was just...
We will get to that eventually.
I'm sticking two shows together and just doing random stuff with it.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually. For me, I liked the Mega Man X episode, even though my main problem was there wasn't enough of the X villains in it. I liked the one where Rush actually used his doggy brain and took pictures of something. It was one of Wily's inventions, so he took pictures so Dr. Light could, you know, in effect, make an antidote machine or a counter-offensive machine. But even though I love Rush, he's an awesome dog. Problem I have with him is, you know, I know that this is essentially a weekly series that, you know, is also villain of the week type of deal, but, and it's not really, you know, in the days of, oh my god, we have to have a strict continuity. But one episode they'll make Rush comedic, and then the next episode they'll give him something to do like that, like, you know, actually take, you know, have the thought to take pictures of something. The very next episode they turn him back into a comedian.
That's a lot of shows that do that, though.
I know. But
it just depends on the writing, and that's, I mean, yeah, I agree, that's kind of stupid, but whatever.
And I thought that the episode with the deaf girl, I thought that was very unique and interesting as far as, you know, people hearing this, oh, God.
The hypnotic.
The subliminal, I was looking for subliminal message thing. Yeah, the hypnotic music thing. The only problem I have with that is both the rock star and the actual villain have the blade sticking out of his back. So how does Mega Man not know that those are the three, that the rock group is actually the three? He's like, maybe they aren't the villains after all. But yet there's four rotor blades sticking out of the back of one of them. I know it's a nitpick. I know it is. But overall, I absolutely love the series. Getting into the music is very interesting. The cues for this show were reused from one of the Ocean Productions dubs of Dragon Ball Z. It was the dub that was produced by Ocean Group themselves without the aid of Funimation Entertainment to serve as equivalent to Funimation's version. It aired in Canada and the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland. The Ocean Group may have placed the background music tracks for Mega Man into their archive and retrieved them when they began dubbing the show. Some of the music cues were also reused for the Monster Rancher dub, also produced by Ocean. I love the music in this show. I thought it was great. You know, the music that they use for when Mega Man takes a power, or, you know, using the main theme for when he comes in and saves the day. I thought the music was so well done in this. What about you, Neil?
I like the music. But the thing is, the games also have really good music, and I was...
Right.
I was kind of looking for that, and they didn't use it. But then again, you know, there's also that thing about how Mega Man has a couple tracks that are questionable as far as who owns the rights, because they're clearly bits taken from, like, a Journey songs and other stuff in the original Mega Man.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it's Elecman stage. It sounds... it's some Journey song, Faithfully.
Oh, Lord. That's kind of funny. Steve, thoughts on the music of the series?
I mean, I love the fact that they carry over some of the music that's used in the theme song. Mm-hmm. I think that they hit pretty well all of the music throughout the episodes at the right points, and do their best, at least musically, to replicate what they created with the video games. Like Neil said, it's just they're both great, so it's kind of hard to judge them as any kind of poor quality, because they just do such a good job with it.
Well, I mean, like, you know, there are some shows where music, the music that's chosen just doesn't work. This is not one of those times. Moving on over into the Legacy segment, the entire series was released on two DVD sets by ADV Films in 2003. Sadly, both sets are now out of print, and in 2009, ADV Films re-released the first half of the series, but because ADV Films is defunct, distribution of any remaining copies left are now being handled by Section 23. Oh, I wonder if Sims runs that. Or Simmons, or whatever the hell that stupid agent's name was. Anyway. It was a bad Revenge of the Fallen joke.
Yeah.
That's why nobody acknowledged you.
Yes, I know. I guess before we go to break, the one thing we haven't really talked about is the anime. I mean, we talked about the differences in from the original animation style to what it was, but we haven't really talked about the actual animation style. And I know I'm jumping all over the place this episode, but the show is just so awesome. I'm distracted, damn it. So Neil, what are your thoughts on the animation style?
I'd say about half the episodes are animated really well. And then some of it kind of goes downhill, especially in the second season. I noticed a lot of really choppy animation, and that's probably why they didn't go for a third season, because it would have been like Captain N season 3.
Well, it's like G.I. Joe.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the first episode was, oh my God, it was great, and then started sliding, but, you know... I'm not going to say that it absolutely went downhill from the first episode to number 27, because it picked back up and went back down again. So it was up and down the whole way.
Yeah.
So Steve, the one with the I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The one with the robot spider was probably the worst that I saw.
Well, then that episode in itself should just be forgotten. If that was a dumb plot line. Steve, any thoughts on the animation style?
No, I think Neil pretty much hit it on its head.
Oh. My only... And it's not really a complaint, but I think some people... And this is just how I associate it. Some people might agree with me, some people might not agree with me. I haven't seen the intro to this show in a long time, and when I went and watched it back, as soon as I saw the image of Roll praying, I was like... Oh my God, is this going to be anime?
Yeah, that's a very anime pose.
Yes, it is.
I'm praying for you, Mega Man!
I think we're going to go to a commercial break, and we will come back and close out the show with our final thoughts overall.
Mega, right back! messages! Woo-hoo!
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Pixels in the Animation is the next cartoon review podcast series in the Geekcast Radio Network's long history of review series. We've had Transformers, He-Man, and Mask as far as the cartoon review podcasts we have done. Now we bring in TV's Mr. Neil as he and TFGU and Mike break down 9 video game cartoon series. Steve Megatron will join us for the Mega Man and Sonic episodes. We'll be reviewing and analyzing every episode of the Mario, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Donkey Kong, and Sonic cartoons. You can expect us to go in-depth and also talk about the game franchises that spawned these cartoons. So tune in summer 2013 as we find the pixels in the animation.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one'd be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How can we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Hey, Tooncast Beyond, this is the goddamn Protoman calling in to say my thoughts on the 90s Mega Man cartoon, also known as the Ruby Spears Mega Man cartoon. This cartoon was a package that Capcom threw at Ruby Spears when they were doing their trifecta of cartooning. We had Darkstalkers, we had Street Fighter, and we had Mega Man. Unfortunately, Mega Man, while it did get the highest budget of the three, it got also probably the most misguided source material. The writers of the show were actually given a copy of Mega Man 5 and Mega Man 3 to use as source material when basing around the story. Unfortunately, Mega Man 5 is one of those games that if you don't beat it, you get a kind of jaded story behind it, that being Proto Man a villain. And Mega Man 3, Kenji Inafune, the creator of Mega Man himself, said was the most incomplete Mega Man game ever created in terms of story. So those two things planted into the hands of the Ruby Spears writing crew, and we had ourselves quite the, I don't want to say disaster, but interesting Mega Man series. Don't get me wrong, animation was probably great for its time. The intro, kind of catchy, and hey, Scott McNeil as Proto Man, I really dug it. But at the same time, a lot of stuff was just very weird about the series. It was a typical wannabe superhero cartoon at the time when heavy hitters like X-Men and Batman the Animated Series were out. But great all-star cast. It was the beginning of the Ocean Crew, which was David Kaye and Scott McNeil and Ian Corlett and just a whole slew of amazing voice actors in their early days before they hit it big with other stuff. But I don't know what more I could say, because I know the Tooncast crew are going to handle it a lot better than me, but sometimes I'm speechless when I watch that series. I remember years ago, I got Scott McNeil to sign my DVD box set of it, specifically volume 2 with Proto Man on the cover. And he was shocked that I was that was the thing that I chose to get him to sign, because of all the stuff that he's done from Gundam and Dragon Ball and everything that other people were in line to get signed. Here I was with something that he kind of regarded as one of his first jobs and one of his least popular jobs. But ultimately, in the end, you know, it does have its place in the Mega Man world, because there hasn't really been too many successful Mega Man media outlets outside of the EXE series and later on Star Force, also known as Ryusei no Rockman. But, I mean, it's either this series or Captain N. So you don't really have much else to choose from that. And the Captain N Mega Man, well, mega high.
Mega Man.
Well, thank you for that, Proto Man. That is very interesting that Scott McNeil kind of looked at you funny when you had him sign your Mega Man DVD. Yeah, outside of all the cartoons he listed, I think this is the only one I ever watched back then.
Yeah, that Street Fighter and Darkstalkers cartoons were not very good.
Oh, boy. Steve, final thoughts on Mega Man?
Overall, I'd say that if your first impression of it was on Captain N, you're in for much, much more to look forward to. I would say that even if you don't care for the original Mega Man games and are a fan of Mega Man X, more so like I am, as far as the game is concerned, the Mega Man cartoon itself is a great show. It has great voice acting. Yes, there are some blunders in animation, but hey, what show doesn't? But yeah, I'd definitely give it top honors in something to watch.
Yeah. What about you, Neil? Final thoughts?
It's definitely one of the better video game cartoons. It's yeah, I could think of a lot worse. I'm not gonna say it's one of my favorites, but it was funny. It was funny both intentionally and unintentionally at times.
Yes. For me, you know, I loved watching it back in preparation for this episode, and I did watch all 27 episodes within like the last 2 weeks. At first, I'd say the first 5 episodes, I wanted to just throw Roll off of a cliff. She was just super, super annoying.
She wanted to throw Roll into a rock.
Oh, God.
Didn't.
Oh, God, yeah. But overall, I agree with you guys. You know, the series has its up moments. It has a few down moments. I don't, outside of feeling that, you know, he was cheated from, you know, saying that his only contribution to Proto Man was wrong and incorrect, I don't really understand why Dr. Wily went mad and wanted to, you know, be the mustache-twirling world dominator. I just don't get it. Because every plan he has is the dumbest. I swear to God, if this was, you know, if Dr. Wily was a robot, he would be G1 Megatron. Every plan he has fails. I don't know. I just don't know. Overall, I loved watching the series back, and it was very, very awesome. So, Neil, what do you guys got coming up on Animation Aficionados?
Well, we, what did we just record? Well, we just put up
released Batman Beyond.
Yeah, we just released Batman Beyond. Yeah, we released a bunch of shows. Or we recorded a bunch of shows, and I'm just kind of blanking on it because it was just kind of slapdash by the seat of pants. But we're gonna have a couple cool shows coming up with Bob Mackey from OneUp.com and Blade Kitten's Space Captain Steve, and Hal Hefner from Heavy Metal Magazine is going to be on the show. So don't steer me.
Awesome. All right. So thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are so many ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on every single post we have. You can also go over to the right-hand side of any of the pages where it says Send Voicemail Now. And that is a new feature that we have there, so you can immediately send a voicemail to us. You can record it right there on the site. Very awesome. Steve found that to set that up for that. You can leave the show's feedback in iTunes, which we have iTunes feedback. On the American side, we're a few months late on this, but on my birthday, actually, February 9th, 2012, someone named A-Lister left us a 5-star review entitled Batman. Keep up the good work. I want to thank the team for making the days at work go real quick. Your show makes me laugh. Also, I have learned a lot of new things, even from shows I grew up with. P.S. Anything Batman is a must hear. And then someone who is a friend of our show and will be on a number of our podcasts here at Geekcast Radio Network and was just on a wrestling aficionados episode. Over on the Canadian side, Jonathan Totterin, and yes, I did get his name right, JT from Saskaspoon, left us a iTunes review on January 19th, 5-star, The Awesome. Love the show. I've been listening to it for a couple of years now for the Geekcast Radio Network programs. It's up there on my list. It's a worthy successor to the original TuneCast, and I'm not just saying that because I've worked with Mike and the crew before. If you A, love cartoons, B, have yet to grow up, and C, you ran around with a cardboard sword shouting by the power of Grayskull as a kid, you will love this show. It is awesome.
JT from Saskatoon, who did not know that Bret Hart, one of his favorite wrestlers, won the title in Saskatoon.
Poor JT. So thank you to A-Lister and JT for the awesome iTunes reviews. Keep them coming, folks. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFGN Mike. Neil, what is your Twitter if you use it?
Neil Sama.
Steve, what is yours?
SCP21.
You can also follow Animation Aficionados over there. I think Ben runs that, doesn't he?
Or
is that you that runs it?
On Facebook or
no Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah, it's A Aficionados. Ben pretty much runs it. I post on there occasionally.
Yeah. You can become a fan of us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network and Facebook.com/Animation Aficionados. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. Or if you want an easier way, just go to the website and you can record your voicemail immediately. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will once again jump into the DeLorean for more DeLorean time with Reboot, which also will launch a brand new podcast here at Geekcast Radio Network, Rebooting Mainframe with Tara and Steve. For now, I am TFGN Mike with
TV Mr. Neil,
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.